Okay, today we're going to continue our discussion. Micho was not here yesterday. Our meaning of beards. There's no one here that has a beard except for one person. It's not paying it off, I'm sorry. The minhag to have a beard. But what about the minhag to have a mustache? By Axelrod. You have a mekar for this? What? Okay, and they're not trying, just playing. Okay, but we learned yesterday that let's review what we learned yesterday. Al pi halacha, we follow, is accepted, at least here in America, as far as I know. I'm clean shaven, as far as I know, that there is no prohibition whatsoever to shave. We're not going to go through the halachas of shaving, all the hashchasa, what does it mean hashchasa, why a shave is mutter, scissor action, so on and so forth. It's mutter. It's mutter al pi halacha to shave, and everyone said, even the Chasam Sofer says this. Can you imagine they have all these letters in the paper that it's osur gomer to shave, isur deraisa, lasash, lespazik inechem. The Chasam Sofer says that it's mutter, Chavetz Chaim says that it's mutter. Mamish, Chavetz Chaim writes that it's mutter. In Machane Yisrael, you're allowed to shave, and the Chasam Sofer, they, I don't know how they shaved, they have electric shavers, but they had certain type of shavers, whatever they had, mutter. All of a sudden, it became a thing now in the papers that it's awesome in a Torah, it's not true, narishkeit. It's mutter to shave, mutter. However, even though it's mutter, there are Jewish custom. It appears that throughout history, throughout the ages, it has been a Jewish custom that the tzura of a religious Orthodox Jew in certain settings would be to grow a beard. Okay, Rabbanim, so on and so forth, you can't deny that it's a minhag. There is such a minhag. So where does this minhag come from? So we discussed yesterday, we just started a little bit the minhag of having a beard. And the first thing we mentioned was about how did it even start among the Goyim? That they began to shave. So we mentioned there's a legend that there was once a very popular or very dangerous king that was a saurus. He did not have any facial hair. It's brought down the old many swarm. This king did not have any facial hair, and in order that he should not look different than his audience, than his people, everyone had to shave their facial hair. And that somehow developed a new custom among the Goyim, among the Romans, I don't know, maybe it was one of the Caesars, I don't know what it was, where everyone, it became a stomach and in fashion, and it became extremely popular, it spread to a good part of the civilized world, and that's the way it became, that's how it started, who knows how many years it's going to be, probably even close to 2,000 years, maybe even more during the time of the Bayi Sheni, this really could have been started, this custom among the non-Jews, that they are clean-shaven. Then there became a lot of pressure among Jews, that if you want to do business with Goyim, you also have to look the part. You have to disguise the fact that you're Jewish. We had discussed this when it came to payas. In Russia, there were many tzaris with having payas, you don't have payas, because the Goyim wanted to cause the Jews to assimilate, and the same thing was even more true for beards, that there was a lot of pressure among Jews living in Golan, so they should shave to look like the Goyim, so they would be more favorable in their eyes, and be able to engage in business. Typically among the Christian nations, Jews did shave, and among the Muslim nations, Jews did not shave, because the Muslims did not shave, and that was part of their, so therefore, Adrab, you blend in better with the Muslims if you don't shave, but if you live among the Christians, you have to shave, and during the last 1,000 years, there's been this battle between the Christians and the Muslims. We've always been running from one to the other, seeking refuge here, seeking wherever, the lesser of the evils. We found ourselves in different places, so there was shaving, not shaving. Typically in Germany, the Jews did shave. There was a lot of shaving. In Poland, they did not shave. Poland, they were isolated. They had their own little shtetls, own little communities. There was no taruvis of the Goyim. Jews in Poland and Russia did not shave. Jews in Germany and Spain, I'm not even, there's a whole story with, I don't know the details, but other kind of parts they did shave. Okay, fine. Now we do find a very interesting remnant to shaving in Radak. The Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, he was a Kadmon, he was from the Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, right? Rabbi David Kimchi was one of the Rishonim, and he has a parish on, very obviously, we're learning Radak in Navi. about David HaMelech. David HaMelech is a story in Tanakh. I don't even know where the Makar, it doesn't say here the Pasuk, I don't know where it is, somewhere in Shmuel, where there was a king, his name was Hanun Melech Amon. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. It's a Hanun or Hanon Melech Amon, where the king of Amon, his father died. And David sent him a gift for Nicham Avela. You have to be in good terms, diplomacy, you have to be in good terms with your neighbors. So he sent him a gift, and he sent a number of shluchim to give comfort to the king of Hanun Melech Amon. I assume that means that this new person, he took over his father in those days when the father died, so the child takes the throne. And this king was wicked. And what he did was, he received in his company, it's the pasuk, these are mamash psukim. He did worse. He did what the Nazis would one day do. He was mevazeh them. He cut half their beard. So they looked very funny. This, Rachmanel son, was done by the Nazis to many of the Kedoshim. They would be mevazeh them by cutting off one payer. Hasidim, they would cut off one of the payers. Another one they would leap, or they would cut half their beard and make them look funny. So these people were obviously very embarrassed. It seems like very long beards. It was very noticeable to have only half a beard. It was very great humiliation. And in those days, we have to remember, those days they had dignity. Not like today. You know, today, unfortunately, we don't have the dignity. We have sense busha. But it appears, that's also a whole very big insight, that they had such dignity, they couldn't even come home. It was too much of a disgrace for these messengers to return back to Eretz Yisrael, to their family, their community, because it was such a great humiliation to only have half a beard. Today, would it really be such a humiliation for a person to come back to his family with a half a beard? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. But it's very interesting that it was a given that such humiliation. Obviously, they were very dignified people in those times. It's a very, very, very interesting insight. So David said, okay, what should we do? So David said, don't come home. Stay out in hiding. Go somewhere where no one knows you until your beard grows in. So the Radak asked a very simple question. What's the big deal? Why didn't David just tell them to shave the other half off? If it was true that it was customary among some groups, we really don't know how far it goes back. We don't know how far it goes back when it became the minug, when it became accepted to shave. I mean, how did Jews look? What did Moshe Rabbeinu look like? Was he clean shaven, or did he have a beard? Did he trim his beard, or did it grow wild? There's no answer. We don't know. We really don't know. Maybe we'll be shocked. Maybe if we would see Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a nicely trimmed beard, a small little beard. We don't know. No one can tell you how it was. So we don't really know this tkufa. But one thing that Dadak says, what's the big deal? Tell them to go and they'll shave off the other half. And if half of society has shaved, so you blend into the other half of society. That wasn't an option. So obviously the people in this kufa from Tanakh, the custom, halacha it's mutter, that's a given. Halacha it's mutter to shave. But the custom was, this was the tzur of what a Jew looked like.
Everybody can look it. What does it mean? There wasn't any wrinkles in the face.
I don't know. This is what the Radak. They bring this as a very interesting. Okay, we just very quickly. We mentioned just very quickly when we wrote, because not everyone was here yesterday. We mentioned yesterday about the Arch of Titus. Mm-hmm. The Arch review. He said yes. The Arch of Titus has. We mentioned has the trumpets, has the shulchan, has the menorah, and who's carrying the menorah? There must be five, six people schlepping. You have to go look online. The Arch of Titus, the schlepping the menorah. I'm very. Naive, and I don't really know too much about history. I always thought the ones that are shoving the menorah were the Romans. And right? They're the victors, they're shoving the menorah. No, it seems that from what's understood is that the the people that were captured, the Jews who were captured, they were taken as slaves, they were assigned the task to schlep the heavy menorah in the parade through the streets. And in the depiction of these Jews that were captured and are schlepping the menorah, there's no beard.
No,
they're clean shaven.
They're prisoners.
Oh, so there are many answers. So there, no one knows. There's no way to possibly know what's going on, because this was not 1,942 years ago, and no one understands. So who was it? Could be, who says it was even Jews? Maybe it was not. Maybe it was just some Roman slaves. We don't know exactly. But they wouldn't bring a riot. Look, you see the time of the Bayashani. Bayashani, now everyone shaved. Let's assume they were Jews. They're schlepping the menorah. Oh, you're clean shaven, so you see not everyone shaved. Okay, so you can answer all the Irans, but the answer that a lot of the scholars give is these were the Biryonim. The ones that we do know from history, that the ones that suffered the most humiliation at the time of Chorban Bayis Sheni were the Biryonim, not the Purushim. They would divide into three groups. I don't know all the details, I forgot all the stuff. But at the time of the Bayis Sheni, there were three groups. What to do, how to deal with the Romans. One group wanted to surrender. One group wanted to be to some diplomacy, and the Biryonim, they were zealots. Militants. I don't know the details, but they were the militants. And the militants, the Biryonim, were not, they were anti-religious to a certain degree. We don't know the details, but they were not following in the ways of Chazal. So their conduct, if they were clean-shaven, is not necessarily a raya to the Hamoinam, to the Pushim. Today I think we try to identify, we try to follow in the ways of the Prussian. That's what we're trying to do. I think that's a pretty fair statement. So the conduct, the tzura of the Biryonim is not a raya to the Prussian. Now, I saw the Apeldic, obviously a beard has a lot of Yerik Kabbalah. It's a lot of, what is it, having a beard? It represents, I don't know what it represents, a chef of Kedusha. The Zohar says that, I'll read you the words, it's shocking what he says. Even though you're allowed to have a beard, that is a given. The Chassam Sefer says there's no question you're allowed to have a beard, but let me see, I underlined the Zohar, his words, his scary words. The Zohar says that Oiloi, woe to the person, l'mi shemoyshit yodai bedikna hayokor ha'elyoyim. Woe to the person that extends his hand. It means to cut it off. It's an expression. It means woe to the person that puts his hand into the yokar, the whole the precious beard, to cut off the beard. Because it represents, this is the key word, this is the word which appears over and over in the literature of beards. Tsinoirois shel shefa kedusha. Pipes. A tsinor is a pipe. A pipe of holy shefa, of a bestowal, of a
flow of
bracha. So cutting off the beard, you're cutting off the pipe, the conduits of blessing that come down to the world. Whatever that means. Now there's a very big controversy. One of the big mukubalim, I'm not even sure who this is. I'm not sure, maybe Rav Chagiz, I remember one of the big mukabalim says an incredible chiddush. The only place where it's forbidden to only al pi halacha it's mutter. Let's make that assumption. Talk about minuk. Obviously, al pi kabbalah there are great things in having a beard. Shefa tzinoros. Even al pi kabbalah, it's only usur to cut the beard in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Li'aretz, no problem. Go right ahead. You're not going to be cutting off any shefa of kedusha in Chutz Li'aretz. This is one of the major mikubalim, and all of the later mikubalim go to town on this, and they say no way. He never said it. This was never said. It was never said because Adarabah. This is what they say. Adarabah. Listen, you have to understand. You have to. That in Eretz Yisrael, what happens in Eretz Yisrael if you cut off the tzinar? You cut the pipe. Like, let's say you have an Avenue J, you have a water pipe. The water pipe that brings water into the city. If you cut the pipe, what happens to all the water? It floods. Where does the water go? It goes all over the place. It's a flood. So if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's Admas Kodesh, and the and who's living in Eretz Yisrael? Only Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. And now there's a shefa of Kiddush that's coming down through the pipes, and you cut off the pipes. So the shefa is not going to go through the pipe, it's going to go into the street, it's going to go all over the place. Very good. So there's gold in the street. No big deal. Who's going to take the shefa? Only Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's nothing to worry about. But in Chutz, no Arabs are Eretz Yisrael. No. But in Chutz Li Aretz, in Chutz Li Aretz, there is the koyach of the koyachos of Tuma. So Adrab, some want to say Pumfa Keren. It's more important to preserve the beard in Chutz Li Aretz than in Eretz Yisrael, because the kedusha must be properly channeled to the right people, and if the channel, if the pipes are severed, then there's a flood, and the kedusha is coming, going to the wrong places, and Chutz Li Aretz is occupied by non-Jews, and the non-Jews are going to take this kedusha for themselves, and we are going to suffer greatly because. So some want to say just the opposite, that there's a greater hakpad than Chutz Li Aretz to preserve the beard, not add over Eretz. This is very interesting. I just keep on, because this is discussed a great length, but this is Mekubalim, is there's a Kabbalistic Indian to have a beard. Is there such a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Li Aretz? Some say yes, there is. Only in Eretz Yisrael you should be makbid, not in Chutz Li Aretz. And Chutz Li Aretz, forget about it. There's nothing to talk about. Go right ahead, shave your beard. And some say, mamash pumfa keret. In Chutz Li Aretz, you have more of an obligation to preserve your beard, al pi Kabbalah, than you are in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I found something that's fascinating. This is an incredible thing. I never knew this. This is like awesome. When you go get a haircut, did anyone ever hear of this? When you get it, not a beard, not talking about a beard, talking about getting a haircut, regular hair. When you finish the haircut, you're supposed to say to the barber, assuming that you have a Jewish barber, so I say thank you, Jewish barber, you're supposed to say to him, I'll read you the words exactly, to say to the barber, you're supposed to wish the barber, Chayim Toivim. And the barber is supposed to respond to you, that was the minhag. No, just like today you say, Mo'adim L'Simcha. What's the minhag there? So you say to your friend, Mo'adim L'Simcha. What's the response? Chagim Uzmanim L'Sasa. I'm sure people go, so you have, they have this minhag. In America, you don't hear this. Say, like, good yom tov. And Eretz Yisrael, there's a, you know, one heard of this? You say Mo'adim L'Simcha, and the response is Chagim Uzmanim L'Sasan. Or you say Shalom Aleichem, or your friend says back. No, it's not Shalom Aleichem. It's Aleichem Shalom. No, it's always worth to find about. There's a protocol of how you greet your friend and how he responds to you. There's a protocol. When you get a haircut, you're supposed to say to the barber Chayim Tovim, and the barber is supposed to say to you Yosifu L'mar Shnois Chayim. Why? Because it has something to do with hair. Hair has something to do with din. When you have long hair, this is a Kabbalistic inyanim. Hair has long din, and when there's din, there's a tzmekatzer chayim. So when the barber takes off your hair, what the barber really is doing is he's giving you long life. Because hair is din, and removing din, memela increases chayim. So you give the barber a bracha, thank you very much, what you've done for me, you've taken away the klipas. The klipas, whatever that means, and you wish him chayim tovim. So the barber says, Yosifu l'cha l'mar shnois chayim. So the mekubalim, who are very, very upset, they're very disturbed. This is a little bit of a joke, but it just goes to show how minhagim, how far they go. How dare you go to the barber and the barber trim your beard? This one thing, having a beard, trimming the beard, how long it goes, I don't know anything about. But people go to the barber and they have their beard trimmed or the beard is cut. So they say it's such a terrible thing to do, to go and have your beard cut. What you should do is you should say to the barber, I must take a step back. Well, before I tell you that part, there's another minhag. When you get a haircut, you say to the barber, Visor avoinecha. This is a minhag in Tunis. And Agafia. What's Agafia? Agafia is the name of a place, somewhere near Tunis. Where's Tunis? North Africa. So where's Agafe? Aleph Gimel Pei Yud Hei? May I not pronouncing it right? Okay, it's another place. The meaning there was not to say Chaim Toivim and Yosef Lachoshnais Chaim. The meaning was to say to the barber,
that's a good.
Visor Avoynecha, may your sins turn away. And the barber would say back to the person who got the haircut, V'chatoisecha Tichupah. Beautiful minuk. You ever hear such a thing? Because the here represents chait. It represents gaiva chait, whatever, I don't know what this means. It represents kechot tumah. So when the barber takes away your hair, he cuts it nicely, you give him a bracha, may your sins also, v'sor avaynecha. And the barber says back, v'chatoisecha tichupar. That's the protocol. So now the mekubalim who are so upset with what's going on, that people are going to barbers, not only is the barber cutting off their hair, they're cutting off their beard. So they make a joke and they say, you should say to the barber, you should say, the barber should say to the person that got the haircut, Utihi avoynecha al atzmoisecha. That instead of saying, instead, again, this is a takeoff, an angry response of the mekubalim to what's taking place in their community. People go to the barber every day, and the custom is you say to the barber, "Thank you very much." And the barber says back, "Likewise to you, v'chatoisecha, may your sins tichupar." Because taking off here, so the mekubalim say, "What in the world is going on? This guy, he goes to the barber, and the barber goes and he cuts off his beard. Barber, instead of saying to him, v'chatoisecha tichupar, you should say to the person that you just shaved off his beard, v'tihi avoynecha, may your sins be al atzmoisecha." That's my sech on your bones. That Adraba, you should be cursed for what you've just done. The sin should cleave to your bones for what you've just done. It's a takeoff on the minog. An angry response time by the mekubalim. How dare you do such a thing? We should change the protocol of the sor avoynecha ve'avonasecha tichupar to the protocol should be the sor avoynecha pumfakert v'tiich avoynecha al atzmaisecha. May your sins cleave to your bones. You've done such a terrible thing by taking off the tzura of what a Jew is supposed to look like. Okay, now by the way, I'll leave you one last thing and then we'll continue this tomorrow, that there really is a Beferisha Yerushalmi. Everyone deals with this. There is an explicit Yerushalmi that says that you're supposed to shave your beard, or at least trim your beard. At least trim. Because Yerushalmi discusses Yerushalmi, it's brought down by the Tur, and where is the Yerushalmi? The Tur brings down this Yerushalmi, Oisek. He doesn't bring down, that's very well, he doesn't bring down the Makoros, for a lot of the Gemara's sake, it's very disturbed. It's Arachayim, Tof Kuf Pei Aleph. But the Torah, in the Arachayim, Tof Kuf Pei Aleph, he talks about Rosh Hashanah. And he compares Jews who go to a din to a guy. When a guy goes to a court case, and there's a question of Chayim Vahamaves, he committed a crime, and they're taking him to court, and the judge has the power to take his life. So what does he do? What does he do the day before? He's in mourning. He's afraid for his life. He doesn't eat. He's terrified the whole day, and he goes in, and what's going to happen? He needs mercy from the king. But the Jewish people, the Yerushalmi, they're not. Look at this. Look at Klal Yisrael. So Yom Hadin, it's Rosh Hashanah. The person's life hangs in the balance. Chayim v'hamavis. You go Yom Hadin, and the day before Erev Rosh Hashanah, everyone is happy. There's a mitzvah. Everyone is eating, and they're putting on their nice clothing. And the Yerushalmi says, "Aval Yisrael, Einam came, loiv shem levonim." They wear beautiful white clothing. They put on nice white clothing. Everything is white. And by the goyim, when they're afraid for death, they put on black clothing. We wear white clothing. Umis atzim levonim, and we cover our heads in white. Umigalchem zikonam, and Erev Rosh Hashanah, they go and they shave their beard. They trim their beard to look nice. Are you Yerushalmi? Talmud Yerushalmi says. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael. Umegalchem zekalam. They trim their beards. Either it means they shave their beards, they trim their beards. Erev Rosh Hashanah in honor of the Yom Tov. You dress in your finest. So you can't get better than that. That there is. So how do the mekubalim deal with this? So it's very easy. Whenever you have something which is very difficult, what do you do? What do you say? Tosatzvos. Shini nuschos. So they say, oh, it's not a kasha, there's a shini nusach. If you go, they dug up other swam where it says, umigalchim seorois. They cut their hair. They go for a haircut, not for a beard. A beard cut, a beard trim. So you always have an eitzah. You always have an eitzah. You have a maima chazal that doesn't exactly fit your lifestyle. You just have to find another girsa that will come to your rescue. Okay, so we'll stop. We'll continue with this tomorrow. And let's go to do a little daf yomi. I only have a few short things today.
Yes,
was not able to prepare in detail.